This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Welcome, show number 151. Now, if you drive past our place in the next 10 days, meaning from today, July the 24th, till July the 34th.
August
or August 3rd or whatever the math. I'm not real good with that date math.
Yeah.
It looks like a used car lot out front because we have one of the local car dealers is having a tent sale in our parking lot, which is really cool.
I need a tent.
Yeah, well, we need a tent, and they're on sale.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what dealer it is. We'll find out. But they had the balloons.
Yeah, you
know,
like big balloons. Like weather balloons out there.
Weather balloons. And then they probably write the price and then slash through it and write a lower price below it, you know. Hey, that's cool.
So they have a manager's office there so they can go back and forth?
Yeah, except it's plastic. So
You can see and hear.
You can see the guy going, oh, no, no. Listen, hey, you know, car dealers aren't what they used to be, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah,
you know, it's a different world than it used to be. And for us, although we are technically car dealers, we operate a little differently than most car dealers.
Sure.
We don't have to turn you over to the manager. Now, you know, it's funny. The last few cars I bought has been a very pleasurable experience, and I can remember back in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't always a pleasurable experience.
Right.
It was sometimes frustrating and sometimes nerve-wracking, and it got contentious, and it was almost a battle.
Oh, sure. It can be. That's why you go on the internet, you get an out-the-door price before you go into the dealership.
And then you know where you're at.
Right.
And as long as it performs like they say it did and doesn't have any weird things going on with it that they didn't note, same with us. You negotiate a price, and people say, well, I can't negotiate a price before I drive the car. Well, if it's everything, let's make sure that we're in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking 10,000 and we're thinking 20,
right,
then maybe, you know, a test drive is not necessary because we're probably too far apart. So it's nice to kind of have a ballpark. If it does everything that we say it does and will do, then what would you be prepared to pay for it? And then when they get here, if there's something that doesn't work or something that's not right or something they didn't see, then you can say, okay, you know, based on this information, I offered 20, I'm at 19.5. And we go back and forth, and, you know, hopefully it's pretty painless. And if we can't put it together, we just tell them thanks for coming in.
Right.
You know, if we're too far apart.
It weeds out this, like, if you've listed on Facebook Marketplace, for example, you get 100 messages saying, is this still available? Would you take $5,000? And it's endless. It's endless.
Yeah.
This weeds out the non-serious buyers.
Right.
And it really streamlines the process, I think.
And we will hold a car for you for a few days for a $500 deposit, which is refundable up to $400. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we got fees and credit card fees when we do that. And if you change your mind, that's fine. But we don't want to come out of pocket every time that happens. Because from time to time, there's reasons that people back out of buying a car. Life changes.
Sure.
Something happens.
Wife finds out.
Yeah, the health issues. Wife finds out. Girlfriend finds out. Whatever.
Wife and girlfriend.
And
find
girlfriend
out
at the same time.
That's really a nightmare.
Yeah, that doesn't work well. That's usually a bad thing. And so, I think that the process is similar here, but there's a lot of unique variables in the classic car dealership world versus just a regular Honda dealer or a Ford dealer or something like that. Different parameters. We don't have as strict of sales quotas that they have. I mean, they have to hit certain numbers or they lose, you know, the right to get more inventory.
Interesting.
And so, you know, you've got to hit these numbers. You've got to be able to sell a certain amount of whatever in a period of time. And if you don't, then you only get 9 of the new Corvettes, not 10.
Right.
So, and you want 10. My ex-brother-in-law, Sonny, just bought ordered. We were just talking about this last week, ordering a car. He ordered a 2024 Z06 Corvette.
Nice.
Yeah, 130.
Yeah, 130. And the ZR1s are going to be like 180, wow. 170.
Oh my God. Well, if you could buy one for that.
Yeah, right.
And you put them on, I guarantee you, the minute that they're bought by somebody, they're going to be flipping them for 20 or 30. And I don't know, does General Motors and Chevrolet in particular, Do they have the rules like Ferrari has where you can't flip them for a two-year period or things like that?
I don't think so.
I don't think I've heard that.
Nope.
But there's a lot of different makes and models and marks that that have a time frame of when you, in theory, can't sell it. And there's been lawsuits over people buying like Ford GTs. Mm-hmm. John Cena, was he a wrestler?
Senna.
Cena. No, that's Ayrton Senna. John Cena is the actor.
Yeah, Cena's the actor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's spelled the same way, though. Yeah.
No, it's one N and ten instead of two.
Yeah.
And one's an S and one's a C. But other than that, they're exactly alike.
Like, what did he do?
Who? John Cena?
Cena.
I don't know. I know what Senna did. I know what Senna did, and I'm asking you what Cena did.
I don't know.
You're supposed to be my knowledge factory.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That's the Monty Python one. It's spelled Jones, but it's pronounced throat wobbler mangrove.
I'm here for an argument. No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. Oh, I love Monty Python. I wonder, when's the last time you've watched a Monty Python? Does it still carry forward?
Is it still
just as funny?
If you found it funny back in the 70s.
Well, if you didn't find it funny in the 70s, you definitely would not find it
funny. But
today,
if you're a millennial now and you go to Monty, I don't think they find it funny.
Monty Python to comedy is like Rush is to music. Women usually hated both.
Yep.
Yep. For some reason, they just didn't.
That and Benny Hill.
Yeah, they did not get Rush. They did not get Monty Python at all. I mean, I can remember turning it on with a girl or something and starting laughing. And I looked over to her and she's like this.
Yeah. He's making a face, radio audience.
Yes, radio audience. I keep forgetting that some people only hear us on the radio.
That's right.
Or, you know, audio-wise, they don't see the visual of me doing this.
On YouTube, by the way.
Yes, we are on YouTube, but a lot of people drive and listen to podcasts, or they're at work or something like that.
And we recommend that you don't drive and watch YouTube.
No,
I would be unrecommendable. We would recommend this, but not that.
Yes. Yep.
So you can catch us on all of the podcast outlets.
All of them.
iHeartRadio, Apple, Google. I'm lost from there.
Spotify.
Spotify.
That's the big one.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Pocket Cast. One of the big ones.
Just go to Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout will take you to just about anywhere
and
you want to go.
And ClassicAutoMall.com has a direct link.
We do. And also America's Web Radio.
Yes.
We're on Saturdays at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays at 7 a.m. We're in Philadelphia's WWDB Talk 860, and also simulcast on HD 297.5 in Philly.
Yep.
Look at me. I got all that right here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Very good.
How many cars do we have in inventory right now?
930.
Can I guess?
You 920.
Really?
Yeah. Not a bad guess.
Not bad.
It's getting better. You're starting to get more dialed
in. Took in six yesterday, so yeah, I figured 920. Unreal.
Yeah, I think the consignments, which we were kind of, you know, commiserating that they were not coming in, are now all of a sudden, in the past 3 days, we've sold one car and consigned 17.
Wow.
So
yeah,
floodgates.
And then tomorrow, we'll sell 12. I mean, it is the most unpredictable business I've ever seen in my entire life, which makes me absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? You just take what you get. I mean, you're just happy to get it. And I was talking to a friend of mine over in Jersey who's a regular used car dealer, and talking to him about the business right now. And it's getting better in used car world. Inventory is getting easier to find, especially, you know, good inventory they're able to find. But the auctions are all, I mean, the dealer auctions are all, but I mean, they're just all online pretty much.
Oh, really?
People just really don't go to auctions like they used to. And the interesting thing about dealer auctions is they guarantee condition. So they write a condition report, not the seller, but the actual auction house will go in and write a condition report based on all these charts and algorithms and things. And they'll come up with a number. Usually it's, you know, five and below. So five is perfect and one is a rat. And they guarantee those conditions. And if the car is anything other than that, then you have room to arbitrate or to, you know, renege on the deal.
I see.
Mm. But the business is getting better. And of course, in New Jersey, there seems to be a gazillion used car dealers, as in Pennsylvania, too.
That's true. There's a lot of them around.
Why is there so many dealers around here, especially used car dealers?
I don't know.
Love of cars.
I mean,
love
I guess
of cars.
I guess it carries over to, you know, all the events that are around here. You got Carlisle, you got Hershey, you got all the drag racing, you got all the collectors. You know, you draw a circle, a 500-mile radius up here. I can only imagine how many collections of 10 and more cars there are. There's got to be thousands.
Oh, yeah.
Of 10 or more cars per collection.
Yes. That is true.
I had a small car dealership. I had like 60 cars right. on the lot. And I got into the business because I said, well, if I don't do something that's radio, what would I do that I know something about, have an interest in, and might be good at? And
enjoy.
Two out of three was not bad because I missed that one rule of buy high and sell low. That was what I did.
Yeah, that's always my formula in the stock market. I remember my broker back in the day said, buy Walmart. It always splits and goes and just doubles your money right away.
Right.
I bought it at Tank for like 6 months. And I was like, wait a minute.
I bought Krispy Kreme and it went down.
How can you go wrong with Krispy Kreme, for heaven's sake?
They were
sakes.
Opening stores and going wild, and I lost $5,000.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the problem with investing in the stock market is that everybody acts like they know what they're talking mm-hmm. about, but I don't think they really do.
It's about as predictable as our patterns here.
Yeah. I mean, predictable is, you know, consigning 17 and selling one right. and then tomorrow sell 12 and zero consignments yep. will come in. I mean, there's no predicting it, but you get, you know, obviously you try to buy blue chip type things. Same with cars, mm-hmm. you know. We don't recommend all of a sudden becoming a car investor. You know, don't come in and say, ooh, I'm going to buy these cars. I'm going to flip them and make a lot of money. No, just buy what you like, mm-hmm. enjoy it. Hopefully it'll go up in value a little bit or stay even, because how many cars have we all bought? Raise your hand mm-hmm. that you lost money on. Of course, every car you ever bought,
yep.
every new car you
For
ever
sure.
bought or used car you ever bought, you lost money on because mm-hmm. they go down in value. They're a depreciating asset. Whereas classic cars can be a neutral or appreciating asset, but it's hard to predict that.
It is hard. It's, you know, buy what you like.
Buy what you
like. Cross your fingers and maybe it'll be worth more.
But don't jump into this thing thinking, I'm going to go buy 10 cars and I'm going to make a big profit on them. Because
right.
first of all, your wife is going to kill you yeah. when you pay $10,000 for a car and you let it go for $8,000 at the auction. And she says, way to go. But if you've done your due diligence, if you've done your homework, if you have talked to experts and your local neighbor who's the, you know, Chevelle guru in mm-hmm. town, then, you know, tread lightly into there and maybe try it on a less expensive car and see what happens. But don't, you know, don't go all in and all of a sudden find yourself in a upside down scenario, because who knows, the economy could change.
Yeah.
The election could change.
On a dime.
Mm-hmm. It could be all on a dime. I don't know where that phrase came from, but when we return, we'll delve deeper into on a dime with the Classic Automobile Show. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, tiburon, which means sharks, cobras, and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
6180 Morgantown Road, Morgantown, Pennsylvania, 19543. Here we are.
You're bearing the lead.
At the southern tip of Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Man, we are in the crock mm-hmm. of Berks County, which is the reason that the casino is actually here. Because it worked out. Apparently, the casinos have to be 25.1. I'm just making this
yeah.
up. I don't know exactly. But something odd like this. 25.1 miles apart. And Lancaster County is to the east or west of mm-hmm. us, and they will never allow casinos, apparently, from what I've heard uh-huh. and read. So we're in this little sliver that comes down into a V in between Chester and Lancaster
yep.
in Berks County, and it's 25.2 miles from the other
casino. Interesting. Did not know that.
Worked out pretty darn good. So, and the casino is doing great business over there.
Are they?
It's really amazing. They've got a poker room now.
Okay.
You go over there often, huh?
No.
You sneak out of here and go over there? Get your inspiration for writing.
I just, I haven't been over there since that time I saw you over there and we were eating lunch with my son. So that's how long it's been.
You
so.
Act like I'm there all the time. Well, I saw you over there. So what's the toughest description you've had to write lately? What was the one that's been hard?
Wow, that's caught me on the spot here. Motorcycles are definitely.
So tough. My motorcycle.
Yeah, motorcycles are tough. And anytime there's a... too much information.
Yeah.
I have a lot to read. I get it.
And, you know, it's easy to say, and we've talked about this, it's easy to say, and much more.
Yeah.
But you can't. You got to say the much more, or you got to have it there somewhere.
But yeah. Then what do you take out?
Yeah, it's the problem is you don't really have to take out anything because we basically have unlimited. You could write War and Peace,
yeah,
and nobody would read it, but at least you could write it and put it on the listing and all that. That's the fine line of how much will people read, and the answer is generally very little.
Yeah, bullet points.
Bullet points are important because we're a bullet point society anymore. I mean, that people get their news that way. People, you know, read articles that way. They look at the headlines and that's it. And it's a shame because there's a lot more to know about a car or news or whatever.
Yeah.
By reading the full narrative on it. Mm-hmm. But people are lazy when it comes to reading.
True. And I think the people who read every single word of the descriptions are really serious about.
Right.
That's in their sights. You know, they're really interested in buying it.
Because you can, I mean, at the end of the day, everything that's good and bad with the car, we put in the description or in the photos. So, you know, don't just look at the first picture. Don't just look at the first picture and the engine and one of the interior and go, that's the car for me. Look at them all. Look at the underneath. Look at the 25 pictures that we put of the undercarriage and the wheels and the cylinders and the suspension everything. And the rear end and the pans underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I say it's better to have the text and not need it than need the text and not have it. Yeah. So it's better to have it. And plus, it's entertaining to read. And if you really want to know about the car. And it matches up with the pictures because if we talk about rust underneath,
we're showing that
clear picture of it.
Yeah, you know? And if you're more of a visual person, then you're going to see it. And if you're more of a reader, then you're going to read it. And if you're both, then you're going to really see what it is. And listen, sometimes things we miss, and we get that, and that's why we, you know, negotiate prices and different things like that, because sometimes it just, you know, it happens. It's not always, it's not an exact science with old cars.
That's right. It's
they
not.
Can be temperamental. They can be perfect one day and not the next. I mean, there's so many things that we go down, and we do our best, but sometimes things just happen because and we have no rhyme or reason to why. So speaking of motorcycles,
yes,
it wasn't difficult to write my 2020 Harley Davidson FLDE Softail Deluxe, one of our new inventory items. And this one is the coolest looking one ever. Stonewashed white pearl over black, the seat.
Yes.
372 actual miles.
That's it. That's all you put
on. Still got the original tank of gas.
Wow.
No.
Brand new.
Is that right?
Well, I didn't buy it brand new, so I bought it for 368 miles. And that's like 372. No, actually, I think it had 354 or something, so I put a whopping 18 miles.
That's enough.
Or something. Garage kept, showroom fresh. It's got the Milwaukee 8 107 V-twin and six-speed transmission.
So. Yeah.
This thing is really, and wide whites.
It's beautiful.
And it's really a good looking bike.
It's one for the living room. I put it in the living room just to admire it. It's one of those.
It really is a good looking bike.
Yeah,
it's good looking. And if you get a chance, you can check that out on our website, classicautomall.com, or any of the classic car sites all over the world. I mean, we're on Hemmings, classiccars.com, and Auto Trader this. And somebody asked me today, one of our clients called up, and he wanted to know if we were advertising on specific marks. Mm-hmm. Websites. And I said, not specifically, no. We advertise on the ones that are the biggest ones and have the most reach. And we're on 65 plus websites that we contract with and or pay for. Mm-hmm. However, probably another 50 or 60 sites, you know, a four-wheel drive site, a Camaro site, a Mopar site that get our inventory and put it on their site with still our contact info. There's nothing nefarious about it.
Right.
It's taking that information and just transferring to their site, so it gets more eyeballs and exposure. So although we don't pay for that, although we don't contract for that, it's still a way that we can promote your car, and it's out there. And it's amazing how many sites are out there that do just that. And again, I think the only thing they're not looking to make money off of it necessarily, they're looking for traffic.
Yes.
The more traffic they get, then they can sell advertising to.
Sure.
Jiffy Lube or...
Power of the Internet.
Yeah, the power of the Internet. It's a pretty amazing thing. So if you get a chance to check out my Harley, because I really need it. It needs to go today.
Make an offer.
Make an offer I can't refuse. Next up, the 2008 Saturn Sky Convertible. How did I make it
into
a 3?
I don't know.
It's polar white over charcoal black. Mm-hmm. 19,000 actual miles. It's a lot of car for the money. These are got a lot of bang for the buck.
Yeah, when I do research on the Saturns, there's nothing but rave reviews. And
people
and
all love them.
Yeah, they did back in the day when they came out, too. Mm-hmm. They apparently handle really well. Yeah.
Built in Wilmington, Delaware, at the Boxwood Chevy plant.
Yeah, exactly. And they're 2008, so now that's 12, 16 years, 17 model years old.
Okay. There goes the math again.
Mr. Math. 10, 20, 30.
Well,
yeah.
Well, most of them weren't used as daily drivers, so we get a lot of low mileage Saturn Skies in, and they're nice cars. Yeah,
we've had probably a dozen over the years, I would imagine, and they're really nice. This one, garage kept, two owner, very original, 2.4 liter inline four, which is plenty of power for these things. They're fun to drive.
Yep.
They've got some spunkiness. A little get up and go.
They do.
Come on.
There's no complaints in the reviews from Car and Driver, Road and Track about the power.
I have a friend that's on his third Pontiac Solstice, which is the sister vehicle, but it's more rounded. I like the Sky because it's got more sharp lines. Mm-hmm. That attracts me.
It's a better looking car. When a car's that small and it gets rounded, it becomes kind of almost cartoonish looking.
Yes.
Like the Solstice does, but the Sky is a much better, and white's a really good guy. And we were talking about this last week. White is not always good on every car.
Right.
Certain cars you go, just white just doesn't work.
Like a fleet car.
Yeah. A fleet car.
Yeah, I had a fleet car, Impala.
Did you?
I used to drive.
Oh, boy.
Cloth interior. But it had a sunroof, so it was kind of fancy. Next up, the 72 Chevrolet Corvette Coupe. Ontario orange over black. That's a color you don't see very often.
No, you don't.
It's very rare.
If you see an orange Vette from the 70s, it is Ontario orange.
Yeah, it's almost a burnt orange.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's right. It's not a bright orange.
Not bright. Mm-hmm. Not Tennessee orange. Or orange, as Kathy says, orange. I say. Numbers matching 350 LT1 V8, three owners from new, numbers matching Muncie M21, numbers matching 350 as well. The frame off restored example, and one of 1,741 built.
Wow.
Now, when we say one of 1,741 built, does that mean that built with that combination of an automatic and LT1, or a manual and LT1, or Ontario Orange?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it may be one of 1,700 convertibles.
I know that when you look at like a Marty report for the Ford, the Mustangs, and all the different Ford examples, a lot of times they will break it down so far into the options that this is one of one that had an AM radio and posi traction or, you know, whatever. And it's funny, they can make almost anything a one of less than 50.
I wish all the manufacturers had a Marty report.
Well, wouldn't that be great?
It would be good.
And you know how smart of Kevin Marty, the guy who owns the Marty report, to buy all that from Ford. I wonder, it'd be interesting to know what he paid for that.
I don't know, but
anybody knows, call me.
You have to pay for a Marty report, right?
You pay him for it, but he paid Ford for all the records. Or maybe they gave them to him.
It's just a cash cow now.
Maybe they were like, oh man, thank God, get these boxes out of here.
Here, computerize this.
Yeah, secret documents and all that stuff. Just get them the heck out of here. We don't want to see that stuff anymore. So, also, new arrival, the 1986 Mustang SVO, one of actually two Mustang SVOs we've gotten in the past couple of weeks. This one is silver metallic over charcoal gray and light gray. Very well kept. This is a great example. All stock. It was repainted in 2023, and it's got the 2.3-liter turbocharged inline four, BorgWarner T5 manual. Man, these things, when they first came out, they were pretty cool.
They're still pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, that offset vent, that offset scoop on the hood. It's just so cool.
Yeah,
not the fastest Mustang, but they're special with the double wing and the scoop. Just really cool.
Very Euro inspired. The Mercure looks similar to. They were kind of in that same era. And the SVO, the other one we got in, this one's silver. The other one we got in is black. And that's a really good color on that. And I imagine there's all kinds of modifications. You know, Ford in their SVO, which is what this stands for, Special Vehicle Operation, were able to get almost 900 horsepower out of a four-cylinder back in the day when they were racing IMSA. And those four-cylinders were pumping out 900-and-something horsepower on a four-cylinder engine. That's technology, my friend.
Yeah. These two SVOs came in, I think, the same week. I had to look and see if they were the same consigner, like a guy who collects SVOs, but they're two different consigners. They're both really nice examples, and they're still reasonable. They haven't hit their mark.
Their plateau. Mm-hmm. And we'll feature the other one next week on the show. I actually didn't realize that we'd gotten a second one in when I did this. Uh-huh. So shame on me. I'll feature the black one as well. Also in the 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air two-door hardtop. Gypsy Red and Shoreline Beige, which are probably the greatest color on a 57 Beller that you could ever have.
Sure.
Or 55 through 7. A Tri-5.
Yeah, Tri-5.
If you will. And red over red and beige interior. Mm-hmm. 77,000 actual miles. It's got the 265 cubic inch two-barrel V8. But it's got a turbo hydromatic 350.
Yep.
So makes it pleasant to drive.
Three-speed.
Yeah, three-speed. Because a three-speed manual back in the day, boy, you begged for two more gears.
Yeah, exactly.
Even a four-speed back in the muscle car days, you begged for a fifth or sixth gear. But this is the first year for the Tri-5s, the Tri-5s being the 1955, 56, and 57 Chevys. In 58, they went to a completely different body style, and that was 1 year only.
Right.
So that cost a gazillion dollars.
Probably.
May have the start of the downfall of General Motors for a while. But this one's really beautiful. And that, if you haven't seen Gypsy Red and Shoreline Beige is almost an off-white color, but it's just really rich and great.
It's
looking.
Iconic.
Very iconic.
I hate to overuse that word.
I know.
I try not to, but there's no other replacement for it.
It's such a fancy word.
It's a good word.
I like to say iconic.
It says it all.
Anyway, we will be back, and I just see that we've run out of time for this segment. So when we return, we'll discuss more of our new inventory here at the Classic Auto Mall show.
Stock number 6307 for sale by consignment at Classic Auto Mall is a very low mileage and original 1977 Chrysler Cordoba. With only 11,750 original miles, it looks like it just rolled off the set of a Ricardo Montalban television commercial. And this Cordoba does, in fact, feature light gold Corinthian leather and vinyl interior, plus an 8-track player, cruise control, power windows, and door locks. It's powered by a 400 cubic inch V8 with 3-speed automatic transmission. The outside is covered in formal black Sunfire metallic with a Landau top. If you're looking for a great low-mileage car from the 70s, you need to check this one out. Who will look good and feel good? Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 cars for sale via consignment in our massive climate-controlled showroom in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Classic Auto Mall's inventory is fluid and vehicles described may not be available at time of broadcast. Classic Auto Mall, a great place to buy or sell a car through consignment because it's safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Easily search for your next classic at classicautomall.com.
If you have any questions or comments, contact us at classicautomall.com.
And we're back. That's why you're pointing at me, right? Does that mean go?
That's right.
Maybe we could get a red light, green light.
That is what that means.
Red light, green light. Ricardo. You know, we knew that was you, JR. You didn't fool us.
Okay.
You thought you did, but we did. Right. We knew. We know. San Juan. He know. Was that the coffee thing, wasn't it? The guy that made the coffee and he know.
So is that Juan Valdez?
Juan Valdez, yeah, and he know.
Wow, that's an oldie.
Yeah, oldie but goodie, right? Mm-hmm. And last but not least in the new arrivals this week, the 1965 Chevrolet Malibu SS hardtop. 1965 Malibu, if you look at it from a cursory glance looking in, it's a boxy looking, you know, just a plain Jane
car.
But people love them.
Yeah.
I mean, they are revered in the Malibu Chevelle mid-60s Chevrolet camp. They just absolutely go nuts over these.
Right.
They just like that. I think it's that kind of everyman's car. And that's, the Nova was like that.
Exactly.
They were inexpensive. Yep. Everybody could get in and buy one, and then you could do all kinds of fun things with it. You know, you could do kind of modifications and, you know, hop different carburetors. I mean, this one has got a 383 stroker, so it's a little different from original with the Turbo Hydromatic 350 as well. Mm-hmm. But it's a true SS. It's got the 10-bolt rear, power brakes, amazing driving car. And a lot of people would not get this. They would look at this and say, especially non-car people, and they say, it's just a boxy-looking car. But there's something magical about a Nova and a Malibu Chevelle from the 60s that really captures people's attention.
It's true, and they do very well here.
They do. They don't hang around long. They don't last
long. I actually drove this one, and the power brakes are insane. I mean, like, you're not used to power brakes on a 65.
Usually you need a little bit a room between you and whatever's in front of
right.
you.
These work great.
You know, but you know, nowadays with all the modern things, they'll stop you before they hit. I was backing out of the car lot I was at in Jersey yesterday, and the beeper's going off and there's something behind me. I'm so used to backing out of my garage and it goes off because it's kind of narrow that I wasn't even paying attention. I almost backed into this car. I was like, oh, crap.
It actually works.
It works. And here I am just about to run into this car. And but I kind of got insulated from hearing it, mm-hmm. like, for whatever reason. So,
yeah. Hey, where do we sell cars to this week?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, what?
The one time you remember to ask is the one time. Say, look what I had to write. I had to write over here. I have to write 2 weeks next week.
Okay.
Because I completely spaced it out today. Well, I was gone all day yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's
which is usually my prep day.
That's right.
For my show. And then makeup day is Monday afternoon. And of course, diction and all that is Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. where my vocal coach comes in.
Is that right?
Teaches me how to talk.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
diction.
Diction.
Remember him? Diction.
Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you, the Camaro Nationals last week was amazing.
It
was really a spectacular weekend that they had. The weather was great. They had over 700 Camaros registered. There was probably another 100 in the parking lot just parked. We have another 60 or so in inventory, plus the 900 plus other cars we had in here. It was quite the spectacle.
Wow.
That's almost, you know, pushing close to 2,000 cars here.
I mean,
not only that, but you had, you know, all the people coming to the show that were driving their special whatever. You saw a lot of Corvettes.
Sure.
You saw a lot of muscle cars, people coming in just checking out the show. But they're already ready for next year. They're already
great.
Talking about coming back next year stronger.
Make your hotel reservations now.
Make them now. Because not only do we sell out here at the Holiday Inn pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, I think they take the whole hotel.
Sure.
I think it's sold out before it's
makes sense.
Offered. But then you've got Downingtown Exton exit, which is the next turnpike exit from here. And they have two fairly large hotels, the Spring Hill Suites and something else.
Yep, high-end stuff.
Yeah, and then Redding has the Doubletree and a couple others as well, too. But they were selling out everywhere around here. And people were coming. A guy came from Vancouver.
Wow.
No kidding. Canada. I mean, that's, you know.
That's a hike.
That's a commitment.
Nationals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hence the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Internationals. Actually.
Internationals. Yeah. I'm sure there were some international types here.
North American.
And I forgot to ask over at the casino when I wasn't there if they
just call
saw
over.
Any business going on.
Oh.
Over there. Yeah. So be interesting to see.
Good to know.
And we did. We sold some Camaros last week prior to the show, which just, I think, just the exposure of talking about the Camaro Nationals coming here and all the marketing that they were doing certainly. Put us in the spotlight for those kind of things. I wonder what that was.
I don't know.
Made that loud noise.
Just the forklift.
Just a forklift tipping over.
We've got a couple DZ 302s. We've got the Yanko.
Yeah.
The new Yanko.
The new Yanko.
Yeah.
With 1,000
horsepower. 1,000. Yeah. 1,100, something like that. It's crazy, but lots of interesting Camaros here.
Did you see that somebody is...
They're banging and slanging outside.
Banging and slanging.
Forgot to put my sign up.
See, The Cam father just turned 103, Ed Iskandarian.
Oh, you told me that.
Iski,
yeah, that's right.
Just turned 103 on July 13th.
Wow.
Referred to as the Cam father.
Cam father.
Cam father, what can you do for me?
He doesn't still own that business, does he?
He goes to work every day.
Does he really?
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. What in the hell is going on?
We're
going
to go check that out.
That is us. That's some internal noise.
Where's our
producer? That's not some customer in there.
No, right.
Slinging whatever around. It's somebody being a little bit louder than they should. So we apologize for that. Yeah, he just turned 103. Born on July 10th, 1921.
Mm, wow.
1921.
Man.
You think he's seen a few changes in the world?
Wow.
Yeah, I'll say.
Duh. Still goes to work every day. They've got like a huge whole block of real estate, I think, in Culver City.
Yeah, somewhere in Southern California.
They're in SoCal, because why wouldn't you be?
Right.
Sure.
His family were farmers, grape farmers, and they lived up in Northern California, and they had a couple of bad years of crops, and Dad picked them up and moved them down to California. And, of course, you know, he just knee-deep into it right away. I mean, this was pre-war, World War II, and they were cruising, probably Ventura Boulevard. And I think it was, Culver City, I think, was where they were cruising too. And then they'd go out to the desert and race out there as well too. So,
legend, absolute legend.
Absolute legend. And just to go to work every day at 100, I mean, God bless him. I hope I'm not retire when I'm 103. I mean, I don't mean here on the earth. I mean here at Classic Audemars. Still doing this show. So
show
our
number,
special
show
guest.
Number 1,472.
Special guest today is my doctor. Doc, am I going to make it?
To the end of the show?
Yeah. Might not make it to the end. Goodness gracious. I got to go see the doctor tomorrow.
Have another Coca-Cola.
Because I'm certain the doctors, they really recommend Coca-Cola. I think that's the drink of choice for any doctor will tell you.
Well, they used to give you a Coke syrup back in the day. That was the pharmacies gave it.
That's
right.
It had cocaine in it.
Yeah.
And
it was for nausea. We used to get it for nausea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And vomiting.
I used to get for nausea. My mom used to give me that banana. Remember that banana stuff? Did y'all ever have to take that?
It was like, sounds like Knoxville thing.
Yeah.
It's a southern thing. Knoxville thing.
The Tennessee.
Banana, what?
But it was like banana stomach. It was like Pepto-Bismol, but it was banana.
Oh, wow.
Flavor.
That sounds really
refreshing. It was
refreshing.
Delicious. Yeah. It was nice and chalky and thick.
Nice.
And you went, gosh, I wish I could have anything in my mouth other than this. It was really bad.
Nasty. But, Coke syrup's good, actually.
Yeah.
Over ice.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you also had, when you cut yourself, you had Mercurochrome, that red stuff that you used to put on your cut. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Yeah, you wonder, you think about it, you look at your arms.
Yeah.
And
squirrel.
Squirrel. And you think how many cuts you've had on this arm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't show anything.
Oh,
where'd they go?
Really?
I mean, I do have one scar.
Yeah.
Somewhere right down there. And I have one on my back.
I put pruners through my finger. I still have it. See it right there?
Join us next time for Stuart's Scars.
Let's think about working on cars and the skin knuckles.
I
have that from a car. Yeah, and so they all clear up.
They clear up. They somehow
the human body.
The cars they call knuckle busters.
Yeah,
you know, sure.
Well, every 3-minute job is, you know, just waiting to be a 3-day job when some nut won't come loose and you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the most frustrating thing. You get it all ready. You got all the right parts. You got all the right tools. First nut you come to, it strips. It's like,
it's usually the last nut.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, first six were great.
And I want to know who the idiot is who creates these Phillips head screwdriver heads that don't go into the screwdriver properly.
Yep.
And the minute you turn it, it twists.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I always said they should just strap a bomb to them, attach with Phillips screws, and then, get it loose, pal.
Yeah, get it loose, and then we'll see what happens. So, Ed Iskaderian, happy birthday. We didn't want to forget that. I just read the craziest thing.
Okay.
The Stegosaurus skeleton apex.
What?
The Stegosaurus skeleton from 145 to 160 million years ago.
Maybe.
It's named Apex because it's so tall. It's 11 feet tall, 27 feet long.
Uh-huh.
Just sold for $45 million at Sotheby's.
What, a skeleton?
A skeleton of a Stegosaurus.
Okay.
Most expensive fossil ever sold at auction. Duh.
My first role in theater, I was the Stegosaurus in sixth grade.
Nice.
And so when you say Stegosaurus, it really...
Another layer of the onion.
Gave you a shiver?
Another layer of the onion.
It gave you a little shiver?
Just touches my heart. Because there I was, my first starring role as the Stegosaurus behind a giant paper Stegosaurus. Greenberg Elementary School, Northeast Philly, by the way.
Did you make that Stegosaurus? How did you get the costume?
Yeah, we did. We made it out of construction paper, as they called it back then.
Right. Construction paper was great stuff. All colored paper.
If you have video of me in that role, by the way, please send it to podcast@classicautomall.com.
Get it to me first. Interesting thing about this Stegosaurus skeleton is the estimate on it was 4.9 to 7.4 million. So can you imagine if you own this thing and you're hoping to get 4 or 5 million, man, and in my pocket I would go with four. You know, I'm going to be set for life, and it sells for $45 million.
Unbelievable.
I mean,
I'll stick to classic cars.
I think I will too. Although,
I mean, you need a big garage for this. Probably.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that daggum Wright Brothers plane we got. Takes up 27 parking places, you know, and it ain't even got a motor.
And it is for sale.
What is the story on that?
It is a 9/10 replica of the Wright Brothers airplane. Why they didn't do 10/10? They couldn't afford the one more tenth. Maybe there's some legal issue that you can only make them in 9/10 scale.
Otherwise, the Wright Brothers Incorporated would come after you.
Yeah, somebody comes knocking on your door. Who is it? It's Orville Wright.
We have a
trademark. Damn plane back.
Patent on that.
Orville Wright III.
Yeah, the third carrier, 37B. We bought it from a guy in Maryland, and he said, I'll ship it to you, no problem. Oh. And he brought it on a flatbed, and it's made of like balsa wood and
paper
mache.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like the thing was practically destroyed when we got it here, and we got it in and pulled it inside, and you know, those clocks are way off.
This one, go by this one?
Yes.
And so we have it. It's for sale. Mm-hmm. It's on our website, classicautomall.com.
It's actually a very cool piece. And if you
cool.
If you have a museum, an aviation museum, I think it'd be perfect.
And it should be hung from the ceiling, really, is for where sure. it should be. It's yeah. it's kind of, you know, it does take up a lot of space.
So fantasy of flight in Orlando, you know, if you're listening.
Yeah. And the Stegosaurus, if you need a place to park it, bring it here.
We'll, that would be cool, actually.
The 27-foot long
right
Stegosaurus.
Right in the center court.
I'd be afraid I'd come in here at night and the thing would just look at, look at you. Like. Anyway.
Yeah, goes to life.
When we return, we'll start talking about numismatic coin stuff.
Okay.
No,
okay.
We're not. I don't even know how to say that word. Can you say it?
We'll hit the palatial period when we get back. There is such a thing.
We'll catch you in a couple minutes. See ya.
If you're a regular listener to the Classic Auto Mall Show, you know that we're really a lifestyle program that has a lot of fun with current events, music, entertainment, with a focus on classic cars. Well, recently, Stuart went down a rabbit hole and told us about his new boat, so we thought, why not give you a chance to name it? So if you have a suggestion, send it to us by August 25th at podcast@classicautomall.com. And our panel of Olympic-quality judges, Stuart, Steve, Randy, and me, JR, will select a winner and announce it on the Classic Auto Mall Show Labor Day weekend. The winner gets their choice of a Classic Auto Mall shirt or hat. We wanted to include a classic car, too, and if we decide to, we'll let you know. But right now, a shirt or a hat. So in the meantime, name Stuart's new boat, though we can't guarantee he'll paint it on there. And email it by August 25th, 2024 to podcast@classicautomall.com. Yar, matey. The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com. You are invited on a safari at Classic Auto Mall on a search for animals. Look closely, and you might see a tiger, jaguar, and a cheetah or cougar as they try to catch a herd of impalas. And don't forget the wild mustangs and broncos, plus gazelle, rabbits, and rams. Ho-ho-ho. Instead of the zoo, you'll want to do your animal watching at Classic Auto Mall. It smells better, too.
We're back with the Stegosaurus Show from Classic Auto Mall Studio. You looked at me like I was crazy when I said Stegosaurus, and you were one in a play.
We got some dinosaurs here at the mall. Speaking of dinosaurs, like classic dinosaurs.
Classics. The classics are here. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Edsels and
One guy had a sticker on his car out here. It's maybe still here. It says, this car runs on dinosaur juice or something
really?
Like that. I love that.
Yeah.
What's the Studebaker thing that's happening for those listening radio this weekend?
Yeah, the Studebaker club or organization is here.
The Northeast or something. Mm.
We just consigned a Studebaker from a guy's last name was Studebaker.
Okay.
But no relation as far as we know.
Well, I mean, how you got to be, right?
Well, the Cole guy. Yeah. Remember the Cole?
Yeah.
His name is Cole.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
I guess we can. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's going to be
hunting. They'll find out eventually if they buy the coal.
They buy the coal.
Yeah.
You will see that it came from a coal, and therefore...
Not related.
So I want to...
Not necessarily spelled the same way.
Yes. C-O-L-E or C-O-L...
C-O-A-L.
Maybe Howden should buy a Holden.
There you go.
As close you can get.
People kind of pronounce it that way. Sometimes when I say Stuart, when I call up and they say, who's calling? Stuart? George? No, it's Stuart. George?
Two syllables.
No, it's George. It's Stuart. My mother, I had to go by my middle name because my mother thought that Donald, my first name, people would make fun of and make funny names out of. No. Nothing you can come up on Stuart.
When did that change happen?
Well, I don't know. I've always been Stuart.
Did your parents call you Don?
No, they called me Stuart. She didn't want
born,
to. It was my dad's first name, so my mom was like reluctantly named me Donald Stewart.
Okay,
and she said, "But we're not going to call him Donald because they'll make fun of it, Donnie and little."
Yeah,
Don
no kids Don. never made fun of Stewart.
Stewart, yeah, little Stew. What's the beef stew?
Stewie,
Stew Pot. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Mom.
You never went with the initial thing like D. Stuart Howden?
I did. I used to have that on my business card. Yeah. And then I thought that was just weird.
It is weird.
You should just start picking up your phone and sound like this. Just, like Stewie from the Family Guy. Yeah,
just don't hyphenate your last name.
That's right. So I want to delve into a deep, deep subject here.
All right.
Let's go.
Exterior restrooms at gas stations back in the day.
Wow.
Exterior restrooms at gas stations back in the day.
Yep.
Okay.
They were always nice and clean.
Yeah.
Remember, they were always on the side of the gas station, and they gave you a key with an anvil attached to it. so
you would run off
with the key. Not even just run off with the key. Just, accidentally put a key in your pocket and leave, and then they're, after the 37th lock they replaced, they're like, okay, here's the plan. We're going to put a baseball bat connected to this key, this little teeny key, and this big old baseball cap. So, but they were always so dirty. I mean,
It's the last thing to be cleaned at a gas station.
I took a drive up to Buffalo from this area not long ago, and there are still some along the road.
Yeah, they still are. And they always have a machine in there that sold items that you could needed if you wanted to protect yourself.
I gotcha.
And they were always there because, that's what you're looking for in your men's restroom.
In the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of an Exxon station in the middle of nowhere. So. And then sometimes they wouldn't give you the key. Sometimes they look you up and I'm not sure.
You got to buy something.
You don't look very trustworthy. Now, of course, think about it. We used to go to department stores and they never had restrooms. They never had a restroom in anywhere. So if you had to go to the bathroom, it was like, well, time to go.
Yep.
And they were like, maybe we should put a restroom in here. And then if people don't have to, if they have to go, then they don't go. See the little play on words?
Yeah. Grocery stores have them, available now. Right.
So here's the key, and here's the 300-pound anvil that it goes with. If you could drag it to the thing, you can get in. And, of course, then they had the towels that were on the rolls. So that had to be sanitary.
Wow.
Was it magically going into a dry cleaning system at the top and then coming back out?
No, it rolled on a there was a clean roll and a dirty roll.
No. This was one towel.
One strip.
It was like maybe the whole thing was that long. It
just went round and round.
It just round and around and around. And it made you think, I'm getting the clean one, No,
Well, these air dryers are supposed to be, save paper, but apparently it spreads germs like crazy.
Really?
Yeah, the hot air just spreads germs into the air. It basically atomizes.
Here.
I know. I don't use them. Atomizes germs into the air.
They're made by Beatrice, the company that sponsored IndyCars back in the day. And they were a big food conglomerate. And those things, I think there were some guys who invented those air dryers that made zillions of dollars, made a big old thing. So I was thinking when I was thinking about these restrooms, these terrible restrooms, and now they're nice. You go into any of these places, the restrooms are pretty clean, pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Not perfect, not my house clean, but clean enough. But what about full service gas stations? DeLong's pumps your gas down here, and every once in a while they wash your window. And in Jersey, it's law.
Mm-hmm.
It's law dog that they have to pump your gas, but they don't do anything else.
No.
It's not like they're, check that oil for you, sir? No, they're not doing that.
If they do, I will tip. Sometimes they'll do your windows.
They do tip.
I'll tip them.
Yeah, sometimes they'll do. But wouldn't it be cool if you had a gas station or a chain of gas stations or a chain of convenience stores and all the guys had white suits and white hats and they came out and they checked your oil and they checked your tire pressure and they cleaned your windows and they pumped your gas and they gave, if you had a kid, he gets a lollipop or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would work as a business.
Bring it back.
If you steal it, I'll hunt you down and kill you.
Would you pay more for the gas at that station?
Would you? I would probably pay more.
We have a full service Gulf station.
Right.
One owner, one guy, one mechanic, same guy. And he pumps gas for people, and the gas is a little more expensive.
Right. It's a little more expensive at DeLong's, but I don't think it's more expensive than the gas on the turnpike.
No.
It's more expensive at maybe the sheets down the street.
Right.
But the turnpike's not as elevated as it used to be.
Correct.
They've gotten more in line with selling it because they knew they were losing a lot of business.
Sure,
with people.
Sure.
I'll get off before I'll pay that.
Well, I can tell you that service area that's just going east of here says last gas in Pennsylvania. Mm. Well, that's is it really? No, it's not.
No.
But they don't let, you'll notice that the signs, if anything they don't have, they let you advertise. They'll let you advertise an attraction or a hotel. But they won't let you advertise a food place. They won't let you advertise a gas place because they're smart like that. Of course, now they've got these new readers where when you come down the turnpike, it just calculates and whirs up and computers and satellites linking up, and it tells you that you've been on the turnpike for this much and you owe this much amount of money. Does anybody ever check their bill? I don't ever check.
No, I just check it when it re-ups.
Yeah. It goes up, another $35.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that take 23 out here just to avoid the turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, I'm not paying that $3.19. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if that.
Sometimes I take 20 just for the scenic aspects of it.
Until you get behind a tractor.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
it's
actually nice. Go through lovely Royersford, Pennsylvania.
I tell you what, going through downtown New York City yesterday, I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Can you imagine living there?
No. Can you imagine driving? I say the Schuylkill every day. Mm-hmm. If you could imagine, for those of you who don't live in this area, the Schuylkill Expressway, you come around the corner, I don't care what time of day it is,
stop.
And massive brake lights
dead
is
stop.
All you see.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's dead stop, and it's 4 a.m. in the morning. Who the hell? Where the hell are these people?
I know a Genesis dealer and asked me to take a deal, do a dealer trade and take a brand new $80,000 mm-hmm. Genesis up there. They wanted me to park it on the curb, double park it, and I had to go use the restroom. And I said, well, where do I park? Well, just leave it here. I'm not leaving this. It'll get towed or stolen or what?
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
What, are you stupid? Yeah,
but
it's.
It was just insane.
It is insane there. And people just do whatever they want. And they'll do it right in front of the police. The police are standing there, and guy's just driving his car down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, I guess.
We got real crime here, pal. Driving on the sidewalk, yeah. That's nothing.
That wrecks up there with, you know, nothing. But boy, the scary thing is they don't give a crap mm-hmm. what happens to their car.
That's right.
They have these rubber.
Mm-hmm.
Things
the
that
bumpers,
come down
yep.
the bumper covers. Mm-hmm. Look at that Studebaker.
Yep. Nice.
These rubber cover things wow. that, you know, it's yeah. kind of like a bra. I think yeah. I'd rather just have the bugs and the paint chips because it still looks better than the bra
yeah.
or the bro. But they have these rubber mat things mm-hmm. and people just bang into, I mean, mm-hmm. and they'll just pull right in and you can hold your ground, but at some point in time, you're going to say, I'm in a brand new Mercedes.
Yep.
I'm holding my ground for the guy in the 77 Impala.
Has it worth it's being got, shot over?
It's got rust down the sides and a rusty vinyl top. And, you know, so, yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care. Boy, some of the, I was just also looking at some of the cars coming up for sale in Monterey this year in August Central California.
Mm-hmm.
It's car week out there. They have so many events and historic races and auctions and all that. And, it's another misspelling on my sheet today. I spelled sale, S-L-A-E.
Huh.
Am I getting a little forgetful?
I do that all the time.
There's some cognitive things I need to do.
Problems with your teleprompter.
Yeah. And I also put 2024.
Hmm.
20204 is the year for the new Lamborghini Revuelto offered for sale in the U.S. 1,001 horsepower, got nothing on the Yanko.
Mm-hmm.
It's a V12 hybrid supercar hypercar, 0 to 60, 2.5 seconds.
Wow.
217 miles per hour top speed. Asking price? $979,000.
Okay.
The Yanko is what, one something? 110?
What's that? The Yanko is one something.
Yeah. So $979,000.
I'm not paying that. I'm not going over 978.
I'm not giving you a nickel over 978, by golly. And then these are not cars coming to Monterey, by the way. I don't know how to sidetrack to this. And also, just reading about the new 2025 Cadillac Escalade ESV-V. That's like the suburban-size Escalade.
Yeah.
It's got 680 horsepower, 650 foot-pounds of torque, 6.2-liter supercharged V8, 0 to 60 in 4.4 seconds. $152,000 base price.
Yeah.
But it's got the AKG Studio 40 speaker system.
Oh,
because you need 40 speakers in your car.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not, what? Because I'm not, what?
Yeah, right.
I'm not already deaf enough, right? And magnetic ride control. I have no idea what that means, what it does. I've ridden in cars with it. I can't tell any difference. It seems like it rides about the same as.
You probably have it in your AMG too, but don't
probably
know.
Probably too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can't. Tell you when it kicks in or when it doesn't kick
Maybe it's
in.
Like those Japanese trains.
They're going 800 miles an hour, and you're like, I could step out. No, I'm going way too fast. We should have some of those trains here.
Yeah.
Why don't we have those trains?
Because we have too many grade crossings.
Yeah, true.
You'd be running through cars and trucks and buggies. And
man, people just
Because
can't,
people like their cars.
And they want to just get, well, that's why the electric car is such a problem. But people just want to get around those things that are coming down, and the clappers are not ready for me. I'm just going to go around, and then I'm going to stop there for a second because I dropped my, chapstick.
I can make it through.
I can make it through. Bam! There's nothing worse than seeing a train go out of a vehicle. Man, it is Not pretty, because those trains are huge.
Yes, they are.
Have you seen ones? Have you been to the wisdom here? Them trains are huge.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Have you seen the trains that they have at the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit?
No.
Have you been there?
Yes. No, I have not.
These things, I mean, they are massive. Mm-hmm. They must weigh 1,000 pounds.
Locomotives.
Yeah. Where is locomotives? We have a museum here with locomotives.
Up in Boyertown.
The Boyertown one.
Yeah, Boyertown Museum up there. So
amazing. And it starts with an S. What's so near Lancaster, train place?
Locomotive breath, in case y'all didn't get my reference. 30. Well, this is dragging into a sad, sorry little show. Oh, good. I'm so glad we cleared that up. Next time, we'll talk about gliders. Won't that be fun? We'll see you on the Classic Automobile Show. Next week, same bat channel, same bat time. See you then.
Presented by Wilbur and Orville Wright.
Inc.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, tiburon, which means sharks, cobras and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.